This is how it goes. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. I don't need to crank my neck like that. I could just move. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what is sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what is sown. So, last June, I felt that the Lord was calling us to be a Luke 9:11 church, which says Jesus welcomed the people, taught them about the kingdom, and healed their diseases. And I believe that Jesus is calling us to grow both internally, spiritually, as individuals, corporately as a body, but also numerically, that we would reach out in our community and beyond. Because I believe that God wants every single person to come to know him. So how do we do this? And I've been asking the Lord that question a lot lately. Lord, how do we do this? What's the first step? Well, the first thing the Lord often reminds me is, well, what's in your hands? What do you have? What do you have to work with? And honestly, what we have to work with are you and me. That's it. And for some of you, you're like, yeah. And others, you're like, nuts. We're not going to move very far if I'm what we have to work with. And so we start to think, okay, well, then we better ask the question, how are we doing spiritually? If God is going to use us to grow each other and to grow beyond, how are we doing? What is our spiritual report card like? How could we be doing better? And so I want you to remember that passage from Philippians, and I do think I have a picture of it, because I want us to get ready to grow. So this is our theme for the year. Jesus welcomed the people, taught them about the kingdom, and healed those who were sick. And then the next one is this. It says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. I should read it like this. in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So Paul, who wrote this to a group of Philippians, is not giving them an F on their spiritual report card. He's not saying you guys suck at this. He's saying you're already doing it, but I want you to do it more. Like, you're capable of more, because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So he knew that they had a greater capacity for more, and he was encouraging them to keep going, to press on, to not get too comfortable or content with where they are. It's like staying in grade 6 forever. God does not want us to stay in grade 6 forever. As much fun as grade 6 was, he doesn't want us to stay there forever. He wants us to move on. And so that's what Paul is saying. Like, get ready to grow. Like, continue to move on. Keep going. Because when you, I want to say, stay in the same place too long, then you start to stagnate and spiritually, and all sorts of spiritual woes come in. So part of the plan for coming back this fall was to do a 1% challenge. So pray 1% more, read the Bible 1% more, give 1% more, be thankful 1% more, share your story 1% more. So the question is, when I said some of those things, how did you feel? Like, were you like, oh, or like, oh yeah, I can do that. I can give 1% more, no problem. Or, I can't possibly share my story 1% more. Like, how did you feel when we started listing off those areas about where we need to challenge ourselves to grow? And we need those are the things we need to be checking. Why did I respond that way? Why did I go, when she said pray more? Why did I do that? And so that led me to the parable of the sower and the four different soil types mentioned there. Because those soils are reflective of the state of one's heart, their receptivity to the seed. And I figured that by taking a deeper look at each one of the four soils, we might get a better understanding of why we respond to growth the way we do, or to being challenged in our faith the way we do. Because I believe, and this is what I love about Jesus, when we willfully come to him and say, God, I'm really struggling with sharing my faith. Would you show me why? He comes. He tells us why. And then he gives us the opportunity to repent and trust him in those things. When we say, Lord, why do I struggle with giving? What is it? And if we're genuine, as the passage said, those who have ears to hear will hear, those who have eyes to see will see. God reveals those things to us. But the question is, we actually have to come to him with those moments. Why did I? Why? Lord, teach me, and then give me a willing heart. So for the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at this parable of the sower for the purposes of getting us ready to grow, for the purpose of challenging one another, but also reaching into our community. So we're going to begin with Matthew 13:1-3. The verse goes like this. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds, oh, that's Lake Galilee or Lake Tiberias, depending on your version. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on shore. What does that look like? Could you imagine Jesus sitting in a boat and the shore is just lined with people standing, like it's standing room only? They're not sitting, they're standing, and they're listening to Jesus as he just starts talking to them. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. So a little bit of background. It starts off with, number one, that same day. So when, just like last week when it began with, therefore God we need to ask the question, what is therefore therefore? Okay, so this is the same deal. The beginning of the passage starts off with that same day. So what happened that same day? What happened prior to chapter 13 to cause Matthew to write in that same day? So back in chapter 12, this is how it begins. It starts before breakfast because Jesus is breaking the Sabbath law by eating the heads of grain as he and his disciples are passing through some fields because they're hungry on their way to synagogue. After that, he's chastised by the Pharisees for breaking the law, in which then Jesus speaks to them about mercy. So that's run-in number one with the Pharisees. Then he continues on to the synagogue where a man with a shriveled hand is presented to him for the purpose of seeing if he's going to break the Sabbath law. And Jesus speaks to the Pharisees again about compassion, and he heals the man. And then the Pharisees plot to kill him. It's not even lunch yet, and he's already had two run-ins with the Pharisees. And it says he withdrew from them, healing all who followed him, even the demon-possessed. And the people, the regular people, start to ask the question, is this the Messiah? Could this possibly be the Messiah? And the Pharisees, this is run-in number three, say, show us a sign. If you're the Messiah, show us a sign. And yet, none of the people needed a sign. They seem to get that this very well could be the Messiah. They were not asking for a sign. Something was going on in their heart to cause them to believe. The Pharisees were choosing not to listen. And then, to end off the chapter, his mom and family show up while Jesus is teaching and asking to see him. And from the sounds of it, they were purposefully interrupting Jesus' teaching. So that, at the end of the day, or at the end of this chapter 12, he makes the claim that his family are those who join him in doing the will of his Father. That was chapter 12, the first part of the day, which caused Matthew to go on and write that same day. So even after all of this had happened, it's not like he took off and withdrew to a quiet place. It says, no, that he went out of the house and sat by the lake. And such large crowds of people were gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while the people stood on the shore. Jesus had a full day. And he says, and he went on to teach them. So this is number two. He went on to teach them many things in parables. So a parable is basically taking a story and using it to explain something else. It's derived from a Greek word meaning to compare together, using a natural object to draw a moral or a spiritual idea out of it. And so up to this point in time, Jesus has not used parables. It's chapter 13 of Matthew. Up to this point in time, he has preached about repentance, preached about the kingdom. He has set forth the laws of the kingdom in very clear, direct terms. So then chapter 13 comes along and he starts using parables to talk about kingdom growth and characteristics and its future. So my question is, why the change? That's for you to respond. Why does he change? I'm going to take this just in case I don't come back immediately. Why does he start teaching in parables? Any thoughts? Okay, so the people would understand? Okay, for his disciples to understand, because it's not for all of you to understand. Any other thoughts? Why did he start using parables? The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who goes out to sow his seed. Because this passage is actually full of seven parables all about the kingdom. Carrie? Okay, because he's fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. Because they would listen more. Because a picture is worth a thousand words, right? And it was familiar to them. So if Jesus can get them in a comfortable state, right? They know about farming, then they're more apt to listen. Like, I'm going to talk about farming. I didn't talk to Steve Cal beforehand. And I'm like, ah, nuts. He's going to catch me on something. But that's all right. He'll extend grace to me, hopefully. But you're right. All of these things are true. Like, he used parables because it's a different way of engaging, right? If you can paint a picture, people are going to tune in. If you're going to use a story that they can connect with, they're going to tune in. Yes, he was fulfilling prophecy by using parables. Also, because, and I love, and because I really struggled with that middle part of the passage where it says, for those of you who have ears, and I'm like, what does this mean? And isn't that weird that Jesus would only want some people to listen, but not everyone? And as I did more research, I began to realize that it wasn't that Jesus really didn't want to listen, didn't want them to hear it. It was they weren't in a spot to hear it. They spiritually had turned off their spiritual ears. They had turned off their spiritual eyes. They had closed their spiritual hearts. And so by using parables, which need a spiritual waking to understand them, those who had ears to hear could hear it. Isn't that interesting? For those who have ears, let them hear. If we are genuinely going to seek the Lord, he is going to show up because we are genuinely seeking him. But if we aren't, then we're going to miss out. When people can come and they'll be like, wow, God really moved in the service today and he did this and this and this. And some people just go, oh yeah, they sang a song about love. And you're like, ah. Are our spiritual ears turned on? Are our spiritual eyes opened? Are we hearing the stories that Jesus has for us so that we can grow in our faith? So, you guys are good. You did all my checks. So let's get to the verse. I love unpacking verses word for word. So this is it. It starts off with, a farmer went out to sow his seed. First thing is, a farmer. So if you were to define a farmer, it's someone who in this day and age, went out and sowed seeds or was a herder of some kind. Most of the Roman Empire's inhabitants were rural peasant farmers, so this illustration, as we've said, would have just totally connected with them. And so who is the farmer? Jesus defines the farmer in these parables as himself, as you can see in verse 37. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, who is Jesus. And as a byproduct, everyone who asks Jesus to come and live in their heart is doing the work of Jesus. Jesus is the sower or the farmer. All Christians then become farmers. By our words and actions, we are sowing some kind of seed in the minds of others. We just can't help it. As believers, we need to be doing this. And this morning, as I went for my walk, I was coming back down the road, and this two-year, I'm guessing, German Shepherd dog comes running across the road towards me. And I'm like, oh, puppy, you can't be doing that. You're going to get hit by a car. Where's your owner? And he's just, like, running all over the place. And he's, like, jumping around. And I try to figure out where his owner is because it's really weird. And then I hear this voice across the road calling out, did he bite you? And I'm like, should he? And out came this lady in a muumuu and bare feet, very disheveled hair. And she's like, do you need some help to catch him? And so I'm guessing she said yes, because I just kept going and trying to corral him. And then she's like, well, just, like, grab him. I'm like, he's a German Shepherd. What's wrong? Anyways, and he's not wearing a collar. Oh, yeah, he was not wearing a collar. So it's not as if I can, like, grab him. I'd have to, like, choke hold him. I'm like, okay, I'll try to do my best. And so I'm trying to corral the dog, and he goes out in the road and almost gets hit, like, two or three times.
And I'm just having a moment. And finally, I said, do you have his leash? Like, do you have a collar for him? And so she goes back into her house and she comes out and she's like, I've worked all night. I'm a bartender. She used lots of words that I don't normally use. And I was just helping her get her dog. And finally, after like about 10-ish minutes, we got him. She got the leash on him. And she's like, you're just so kind. Thank you so much. You're so patient. And all I could think about was I was really didn't want to get bitten by your dog, but I couldn't just leave you here in your moo-moo and bare feet. But we are to be prepared to be kind and patient at all times in all opportunities because we don't know what is going to happen. And I've been reading a book given to me by Nicole McDonald. It's called The Mud and the Masterpiece. And it says in there, and the guy just keeps taking so many opportunities to share the gospel. And one thing he says, he hears somebody struggling. He's like, I hear you're having a rough time. And he just opens the door for conversation. And so I was like, sounds like you had a rough night. Are you doing okay? And she was like, yeah, I'm okay. Thank you. And she left, and I'm like, okay, but I asked the question. I was willing to ask the question and to go wherever the conversation went. But are we even willing? Like, we as farmers of the gospel have to be willing at all times to share the good news. We are to sow constantly throughout the seed time. We are to sow the seeds that Christ has given us. We are not to add to them. We are not to take from them, nor are we supposed to skip over the parts that we feel that are uncomfortable. We are to sow. That is our job. And skill really doesn't matter. And I only say that because my dad would take me out to the garden as a 3, 4, 5-year-old, and he would have all of his tools for setting up the garden, and he would give me the job of planting the seeds. I'm 3. I am not skilled at planting anything. And Dad would just say, put them in the holes. And he'd cover them up. And they came up. I know. I was not a skilled gardener at 3. My job was simply just to put the seed in the hole. That's it. That's our job. Just put the seed out there. Put the seed out there and let God do the rest of the work. Just put the seed out there. And I just love the way God works. You know, we can look at our hands and think there's no possible way God can use us. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God can use you. It's all based on, do we have ears to hear? Do we have a heart that wants to respond? Are we willing to go where God is leading us? So that's the farmer. A farmer went out. A farmer sowed seeds. Next. A farmer went out to sow his seed. That basically means he went out of his house. He got up. He left the building he was in to go and do the job that he was supposed to do. And this is a reminder of last week's message, how Jesus emptied himself of everything that was supposed to be his to come to reconcile us to God, to build a relationship with us, to teach us about the kingdom, to heal our diseases, and ultimately die on the cross for our sins. He went out. He did the job that he was supposed to do. He emptied himself. The farmer did what he needed to do in order to gain a harvest. If the farmer did not sow, there would be no harvest. Everything I ate this morning came from a farmer. The eggs from a chicken that was picked up by a farmer. The coconut butter harvested by a farmer. The bread from wheat and rye and flax combined by a farmer. A farmer made everything that was on my plate today. Even probably the soybeans that went into the butter, margarine, that I scraped on my toast. All because the farmer went out. If the farmer did not go out, you would not have eaten today. All right? I love this picture. You want to put it up? Oh, next. Maybe it's not. Oh, you know what? it changed. So I had a picture on there that said, if you ate today, thank a farmer. If you ate today, thank a farmer. If you know Jesus today, thank the person who told you about Jesus. It was interesting because my mom was telling me a story of a gentleman at 12 years old came to work for my grandparents on the farm. And they loved him. My grandma would cook whatever it is that he wanted to eat. She welcomed him into the family and they took him to church. He was not from a Christian home. And he grew up to serve God with all of his heart. And as a police officer, he had many opportunities to stand in front of people like this and tell people about Jesus because of the seed my grandparents planted by welcoming him in, taking him to church, and meeting his needs. If you are serving the Lord today and being encouraged in your faith, that's because somebody went out and sowed the seed, for the most part. Very rarely does someone just come to know the Lord without any seed being planted, but that's the work of the Holy Spirit who is planting a seed. So the farmer went out next to sow. So sowing is the process of planting seeds. And basically the farmer would just throw them out, or he'd have them in a bag, and they would sort of trickle out as he walked along the paths. And he would sow generously. I don't know if you picked up from the passage, but he was not overly concerned that it fell on the path, or it fell on the stony fields, or it fell on the rocks, or it fell on the good soil. He just lavished the land in seed, knowing that fruit would come. All he had to do was get the seed out there. And I know we can sit back and think, yeah, but it should be packaged this way and this way. And what if this person isn't ready? Someone is always ready for kindness. Someone is always ready to be loved well. Someone is always ready for you to show them the love that Jesus has for them. Isaiah 55:10 says this, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The word of the Lord does not return void." We got to get it out there. Lavish it on people. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Proverbs 11:24-25 says, "One gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered." When we sow generously or lavishly, it will not return void. It will not return void. And I don't know how God does it, but he does. He doesn't ask us to figure it out. He just says, go and love people. Just 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 go and love people. The lady, the cashier, the person who takes your money for gas if you don't use your debit, because I have this friend who does it to drive through or pay with his debit card to the machine. He likes to go talk to the person. Maybe you're one of those people. Be kind to them. Ask them how they're doing. Give them a smile. But show kindness. Show love. And if God happens to open up an opportunity for you to share the gospel, then he'll help you, because that's in the Bible too. It says we aren't to be afraid about sharing the gospel, but to be ready. And when the time comes, he'll equip us. But we need to sow generously. So what are we sowing? His seed. And that's a key word right there. His seed. That seed belongs to Jesus. It's his gospel. He is the author and he is the publisher. No matter where the seed fell, the seed is always good. The seed is always good. The seed, his word, is always good. And it is the seed that has the life-giving properties. The soil does not have life-giving properties. It's not, if you do not have grass seed in there, it is not going to grow grass. It might grow a whole lot of other things, but it's not going to grow grass. It's not going to like spontaneously combust into grass. It needs the seed. It needs the seed. And so only the seed that comes from Christ will truly breathe life into others. There is no salvation apart from Jesus. So, some results. In my life, I've come to discover that not all seed produces fruit. I was at the Selders 2 weeks ago, and they had just put in new cedar trees. Green, 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 brown, 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 green, green, don't know why. Don't know why. They couldn't explain it either. I'm like, this is weird. How come, like, those three, and pardon me, I'll say, what's in the soil right there, cause that? But everything else is green except for the, I don't know why. I don't know why Dad planted four rows of corn, 30 or hills, 15 hills per row. I don't know. We never ate that much corn. Because he knew that not all seed was going to produce fruit for whatever reason. But whose fault is that? Well, it's not God's fault. Because God wants all people to come to know him. I want you to hear that. If you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear that God wants to be in relationship with every single person. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done, God desires to be with people or else he would not have created them. He loves every single person. That's why he sent his son. So it's not God's fault that the seed doesn't produce fruit. His heart is that it will. And it's not the seed's fault because the seed is good. It's the word of God. So where does the fault lie in the seed not producing fruit? Now, we're not going to talk about weather patterns or, you know, drought or whatever. But the obstacles of growth are often found in the soil. My dad would often say, let's clear the ground as best we can, but you can't really account for grubs or rocks. And I'm like, well, can't we just get rid of all the grubs? And, you know, this is coming from a, like, five-year-old mind. And he's like, no, you can't get rid of the grubs. I'm sure there's a way, but whatever is in the soil often will limit what the seed produces. So, where do we go from here? Well, a few questions. First, are you going out? Like, are you actually getting up and going and meeting people? Or are you just, you know, you come, you don't talk to people at work, you don't talk to your wife when you get home, and then you get up and you do the same thing again? Are you going out? Like, are you interacting at least with people? Do you have opportunities to share the good news? Next, are you sowing? Like, are you actually sharing your story? Are you sharing love? Are you sharing goodness? Are you sharing grace? Are you sowing seeds of the kingdom? And then finally, whose seed are you sowing? Are you sowing the seed that Jesus has given to you to tell other people about, or are we sowing our own? That's the question. And it's interesting, these are not condemning questions. It's just that spiritual check that we need to say, okay, God, how am I doing here being a sower? How am I doing? Because it's not necessarily that you aren't doing it, but how do you do it more and more so that God can reach our church more and reach beyond more because he loves people? So what is our response? And I want you to think about this, and I'm just going to leave that word up there as the worship team comes up. But what is our response to this? What is challenging to us today? And I just simply want you to ask the Lord, Lord, is there something here that I need to hold on to today? Something I need to wrestle out with you? What is the truth in Jen's message? Is there something for me there? Or, you know, is there not? Because I don't want you to think that every time you come to church, I'm going to have like that firecracker that just sets you on fire for something. That's a lot of pressure. But I do expect that you're going to say, Lord, what is for me and how do I hold on to that? What do you want me to do with that in my life? And then ask the Lord to give you courage and zeal. I feel like I've discovered a brand new word. Zeal is an appetite for the Lord. Ask the Lord to give you an appetite for Him, for the things of Him, for sharing His word with others, to give you an appetite, a zeal to tell people how much God loves them. And so as we sing, I ask that you would think about those questions. We are going to open the prayer rail. There could be something else that's on your heart that you just want to come and lay before the Lord, and we do that here quite well. So if you're new to our church and you're like, what is that prayer rail thing all about? It's just a place to meet with the Lord. Our church family will come around you and lay their hands on you and pray for you. You don't necessarily have to say anything. You just do your business with the Lord, and we'll come and we'll encourage you. Ray Sutton had his hip surgery. He's on the mend, and he should be home on Monday, so we can continue to pray for him. But there's other people who are suffering. So if you feel that you need to come forward and intercede for someone, then we invite you to do that. If you need to come forward and intercede for someone that doesn't know the Lord, then you come forward and you do that. But we invite you to come.